Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your host of Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Let's secure for C and get underway. Franchising is one of the dominant sectors within the home-based business industry, and over half of franchises can be operated home-based. This opens up opportunities for business owners to grow by franchising.
Why is it that some franchises seem to expand so quickly and others can't seem to get off the ground? And will the recently passed tax reform bill have an impact on franchising and make it easier or harder to franchise?
To help us navigate today through franchising and tax reform is Christopher Connor. Chris has spent the last decade in the franchise industry working with several hundred different franchise systems in management, franchise sales, and franchise development work.
So greetings, Chris Connor. Say hello to our podcast audience.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming on our show.
We'd like to say that Chris is in a long away place in, what'd you say, Rhodesia?
Or
Zimbabwe. Former Rhodesia, wow. Yeah, Zimbabwe.
So it might be a little bit catchy on the connection, but we'll make it work.
We'll make it work.
Okay. How's that connection doing thus far? Can you still hear us?
Oh yeah, you sound good. You're good.
Okay, all engines head standard. At the end of today's show, we'll share with you our best home-based business tips. Today's tip: what is a simple and easy way to supercharge your daily productivity? Stay tuned and we'll give you an answer at the end of today's show.
Now, Chris, this is a big, wide open subject area. How does a business owner franchise their business successfully? Now, we could devote a whole podcast to this one question alone. So if you can please just give us a few key points.
Definitely. And that could be one question probably for a whole session together. But this is what I spend most of my time doing, is helping business owners evaluate franchising, figure out whether franchising could be a fit for their model, and really understand the whole franchise process as a vehicle for growth. There's a whole bunch of variables that play into it. And even me having done this now for 16 years, I wish that I could say I could pick them when I met a company or I come across a business and really be able to understand who would make it and who wouldn't. There's certainly some characteristics that you can kind of weed out the upper 5%, the lower 5%. But I've been fooled many, many times with concepts that I thought were great and didn't make it, and concepts that seemed okay and were wildly successful. Couple of big things. Number one, you've got to have great systems. You have to have mechanisms and a business model in place to be able to teach. There's lots of great entrepreneurs that are more doers than business people. They're great at running the day-to-day operations, but the magic and the secret sauce is really them. And you can't replicate an entrepreneur. You need to have a system to be able to give someone who probably is not as skilled or talented or naturally entrepreneurial. They need to be given that business in a box. One of the big things that I see in addition to that is you need to have great marketing mechanisms. More often than not, entrepreneurs, like true entrepreneurs, are gifted salespeople. Mm-hmm. They're great communicators. They're great at promoting. They get marketing. A franchise model is usually sold to people who aren't quite as adept when it comes to sales and marketing. So they need that. They expect it. And the concepts that I've worked with that I've seen really take off, they had phenomenal biz dev systems. They had a lead gen system. They knew what it took to close deals. They had the scripts. They had the validation to know and understand how they generated leads, how many leads they needed to convert a sale. It was scientific. By the time they went to market,
this is a great great question. If I could just cut in there for a second. So if somebody, you know, is running a home-based business and it's growing, expanding, they're finding other people that would like to do it, the first thing that they really need to take a look at, if they have a business that has, you know, additional demand that they can grow, is they've got to look at their systems, their internal systems, and have they put together ways to duplicate things, and that, you know, they've written it down, there's processes, and that they can duplicate it. So that's a key benefit that people will be purchasing when they purchase a franchise, is they step into a system that's already been proven.
You're 100% right, and I think it's a mistake of a lot of home business owners to maybe associate good systems with traditional brick and mortar businesses. Right. You know, when you think of systems, you maybe think of restaurants, you think of businesses that have a lot of employees, a lot of capital equipment. Absolutely not the case. You can be a single sole proprietor, work from home business owner, and there absolutely are as many or more cases where systems make a very big difference in structuring the model so that not only so you can be more efficient, but so you can teach it and replicate it and duplicate it. I started out as home based myself, and I loved being home based. We've gotten an office since, but I wholeheartedly believe in the home based model. A lot of the franchises that I've sold have been home based. We probably had more success in that category than any other, because you can start them with lower capital.
Yeah, I mean, you're using your home office as the admin base. But then, for example, you know, there's a lot of different types of home-based franchises where you get a service truck, a small van, and you perform that site. You perform that service on-site someplace else, but you're still home-based, and those could still be franchises.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love it. Those make a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, the recently passed but a little bit controversial tax reform bill is having a big impact on the business world. How is tax reform impacting the potential for success in franchising your business? Specifically, it should make the tax consideration, will it free up some revenue to make it more favorable to franchise?
Without question. This is one of the biggest things that's happened in franchising at really any time in recent history. We the whole franchise industry could not be more excited about the opportunity that's been created. And I think that's true for small business in general. You know, what this did is it makes being an entrepreneur more appealing, more exciting. It energizes a market of people that might have been considering entrepreneurship and now are given that extra incentive. You know, effectively, it cuts the tax rate in half if you own a business, if you're a business owner. And the franchise market is comprised largely of people that have not owned business before. They're first-time entrepreneurs. That's why they're buying a franchise, is they want the guidance and the support. This tax change, this entire reform, gives that extra incentive. So if you're a W-2 employee, you have a traditionally, you know, higher tax rate. You still do for the most part. Mm-hmm. Now that extra push is there for you to jump into entrepreneurship, we see this as being game-changing and truly think this is going to be one of the best years franchising has ever seen as a result of it.
Just to home in on that a little bit, so it's the fact that if you set up an S-type or an LLC or incorporated, that there's a different consideration on pass-through income when you pass that income through to your personal income like I do as an S-type corporation. Is the tax consideration then different and makes it more favorable? Is that where it's more favorable?
Yeah, and I recommend that anyone who is looking at this speaks with a CPA, but generally speaking, the information that I've gotten from most CPAs, what you want to do is file as an S-corp. If you're an LLC, it's easy to transition that over to an S-corp because that's really where the two credits are. There are temporarily right now some tax cuts for individual personal income, and that's in place, but that's going to go away relatively soon. So the real change, the permanent change, is for corporations. And so many of the people that are buying franchises are taxed as a W-2 employee. You know, you're paying 40% if you're a high incomer, or even more in certain cases. You essentially have brought your tax rate down to 20%. You have to have the right structure. That varies too, depending on the sort of income that you're making in any given business. Mm-hmm. But again, it's about that incentive. It's created that incentive. Take the risk. It's worth taking the risk. And I'm sure you both agree with me on this, and anyone who's involved with entrepreneurship agrees. Nothing is better for our economy then more people taking the risk to start a business. It's where innovation, job growth, everything comes from. So to me, this is just, it's phenomenal news. Trump is controversial. You know, it's he's got, you know, a whole lot of people that just like he does. But this is good. This is really, really good.
Well, okay, so the bottom line is the tax consideration is different. You'll get a tax benefit being an entrepreneur, and that that makes the risk more appealing. More, you know, you can be less risk averse. But as we always say, check with your CPA, with your attorney, to get, you know, to get the final numbers. Well, moving on here, like, that's a fascinating subject. We'd probably get back and talk tax reform and all the issues behind that, but along with franchising. But we'll go back to franchising here in a second. Before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Safety Technology. Start a home-based business marketing non-lethal self-defense products. Work with Safety Technology, the industry leader for 29 years. Sell through shows, home parties, swap meets, auction sites, and your own e-commerce website. For more information, visit helpdefendpeople.com or our podcast website for more information on sponsors.
Okay, so not every business is ready to be franchised right off the bat. Your business has to be established and on a stable foundation to grow. So Chris, talk with us about when you might be ready to franchise your business.
So the average company that we work with has about 3 years track record. You don't have to have that, but usually that gives you enough time to understand the ebbs and flows and seasonality and get enough years under your belt where you have an understanding for how the business works. The number one response that I give people when they ask me that is the market will tell you when it's time for you to really look at this. And what I mean is a customer, family members, suppliers, employees, people that you work with, will ask you, hey, can I open up a location? And it might not be straight up, hey, can I open up a franchise? It might be, I'd like to partner with you in a new location, or would it be great if we put another one of these in Houston or Dallas or Atlanta or fill in the blank? Those are the types of comments that to me mean more than anything. It says that you have a professional business, you're presenting well, you're in a good market, there's growth. People are seeing that, and that's why they're interested, that's why they're asking. So much of the success in franchise comes through what I call organic interest. The brands that I have had really take off, you know, sell 100 franchises in a few years type thing, are ones that naturally draw interest. They've got kind of that it factor. Something's cool about it. It might be the way they make the burgers. It might be their marketing mechanism for pest control. One of the ones that caught me off guard was a mosquito control franchise back in 2010. Now they're sort of commonplace, but before it got there, I was like, I don't know really how great of an idea this is.
Oh, well, and we sold the place at the right time.
Minnesota.
And then Zika, you know, all that. So, yeah. So they sold 180 in 2 years, and it's like they just had the right timing, right concept. And so people, the market will ask for to get involved. And that's really when I say, well, you need to be talking to people about this, because you could have that kind of lightning in a bottle sort of thing.
So the nugget to pull out here, and what I can see is a problem with a lot of people running a business, is they get lulled into thinking they've got the best mousetrap, and they've been working it, and they kind of get maybe delusional a little bit. So you got to pull back and say, it's not really what you think about it. You've got to be getting that feedback from the people that you're interacting with that come to you and say, hey, I'd like, the demand is here. I'd like to take a look at this. You know, can we duplicate this somehow? And that's the key indicator that you've got something, provided you've got those systems you mentioned, that this could be something you could franchise.
Well, and going back to our earlier points there, entrepreneurs can be their own worst enemy. And I recommend, if you haven't, read the book, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. It's like one of the first of these self-help consulting sort of businesses.
What was the name of that book again?
The E-Myth.
E-Myth, okay.
The Entrepreneur Myth by Michael Gerber. And the whole concept is you can't build a business if you're stuck in it. And so many times you'll meet with someone, and they've got good numbers. I mean, it's financially viable, it works, but they're the number 1 through 6 employees in the company. They do everything. And they're working 200 hours a week. They're a slave to the business. And not only are they not going to be able to duplicate that, but you can't scale it. You've got to figure out how to put people in positions to be successful, and trust that you can train people to do things as well as you can. That's when you start to get systems. That's when you start to get processes, and that's when you can duplicate.
Let's talk about one other thing you bring up that's a good point. To be able to franchise your business, you have to be able to define your value proposition for your business. Chris, how does a business owner define their value proposition?
That's a good question. And it's obviously like a high-level thing to talk about. But you can do this. And it's going back to, maybe the you can't build a business if you're stuck in it sort of things. You have to make it tangible. You've got to sit down and spell it out. And I love lists. I love making like a top 10 list. Figure out what you bring to the market to your consumer. What reasons do they have to buy from you over competition? What makes it a unique experience? And a lot of times it can be obvious things. Maybe you're pricing strong. Maybe you have a competitive differentiator from like the products that you sell. When people go to invest in a franchise, these things have to be extremely evident. You know, franchise buyers usually have not invested in a business before. They're kind of first timers in a lot of cases. And what's going to catch them are really compelling, interesting, attractive USPs. So if you sit down and you spend time actually navigating this, I also recommend ask other people to help you with it, third parties. So you're talking to people who aren't in the business every day. But if you're sitting down and you're actually spending time doing this and you can't figure out what your USP is, it's probably, not a great time to franchise.
You mean your unique selling position.
Right, yeah. Right. So it's your unique selling proposition or value proposition. Mm-hmm. You need to have this very clearly spelled out. Again, the great franchises that I've worked with, it kind of hits home in like a millisecond. You look at an ad, read like the first couple lines, and it's like, I get it. You know, this concept's great. I see what they're doing. They're unique. They've got the consumers need that. The consumer market's growing. You know, make sure that what you're doing is not only in demand, but there's increasing demand for it. You see some really, really bad ideas that get franchised, and it's like, I think that people just didn't sit down and look at it and be like, but the market's not that big. It doesn't make sense for me to try to open up a whole bunch of these because there aren't that many consumers.
So, yeah, a couple key points on this value proposition. It's got to be readily apparent. It's almost got to be intuitive when you put it down that other people grasp it. And the other point that comes out of this is we got to remember that somebody is investing into this franchise. And, you know, it's a lot more, relatively speaking, than similar business that would be, say, just a business opportunity or licensing. You're actually paying for that franchise. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind with your value proposition, that's also got to raise the bar enough that it's, it'd be feasible for people. They'll want to do that to make that investment. And that all comes down to that value proposition.
You touch on an awesome point, and it's something that's totally relevant. You definitely have to step your game up. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times where someone will have a great business, we'll go to the website, and you can tell they built it themselves in Wix. And it's like, you can't have a homemade website here. we're going to be convincing people to, like, close out their 401k and refinance their house to invest in this. It's got to look and feel and present, like, you know, polished and professional. Mm-hmm. And there's some industry segments that the website maybe not be that important, and it might be more than the website. Maybe it's a logo, maybe it's our signage, maybe it's our brochures. You know, those things have to be polished. There definitely is an element of like sex appeal in this whole thing. It's got to be flashy. It's got to be catchy. People will invest in things that they're drawn to, and they feel look the part. And if it doesn't, it's an uphill battle.
It comes to that brand, but they've got a sense that when they, you know, obviously in any kind of business nowadays, the first thing they're going to do is go to the website, and they've got to, they've got to get a good feeling for it. And that's your initial brochure. 30 years ago, your brochure is now what your website looks like.
Totally. And that it goes further with social media. You need to have a polished, clean Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. I'm getting close to 40, so I'm like not the one to be
talking
to everyone.
Instagram.
But you know, those are relevant now, and I'd say that so many people, like particularly my age, around 40 and older, you know, I think a lot of us didn't really take that stuff seriously. And just recently, I started to be like, okay, you need to focus on this stuff. It is 100% relevant to everything you're doing now, from a marketing and a branding perspective. And that stuff gets looked at when you're trying to grow and you're trying to scale and convince people to invest in a business. You've got to pay attention to it.
True. So kind of going off of that, Chris, talk with us about the importance of franchise sales knowledge for franchisers.
Yeah, so that is another thing we could probably do a whole discussion.
Yeah, we're kind of running out of time a little bit, but if you could just kind of hit some highlights, I think we'd like to circle back for you with you for a future podcast and hit some of these.
For sure. So obviously, if you go through the process to franchise and you can't sell it, it is a complete waste of time and money. So to me, selling, marketing, being able to convince people to buy in, that's sort of the end all be all. There's a lot of things you need to do before you franchise and when you get ready to franchise, but selling it is the absolute most important thing. So you need to make sure you're not only packaged and prepared and you know, looking pretty and presentable to people, but you need to either be ready to sell and convince people to invest or bring people in who can't, because that's the whole deal.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people that have been particularly adept at developing systems for franchises and getting that duplicatable system, that's where their skill is. And it may not be in sales.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, it's just sort of human nature. You're kind of good at one or the other. So the key is to have enough self-awareness to define maybe where you fit, and whatever you're not good at, bring people in. I mean, that's the definition of scale and growth is empower other folks in your organization.
Great.
Well, Christopher Connor, this has been a great discussion on franchising and the, you know, a little bit on the impacts of tax reform on potential for franchising. Do you have any final points you'd like to share with our audience?
You know, the one big thing I'd like to leave everyone with is entrepreneurship, whether it's franchising or not, is the best thing that ever happened to me, maybe outside of my wife and kids.
There you go.
So many people that I've interacted with, including myself, best decision I've ever made when it comes to professional life. You absolutely need to look at it now. If it's at all in the realm of possibility, great factors, great variables, this tax reform, level of optimism, now is the time to be looking at it. And hopefully franchising is a part of that, but if not, entrepreneurship is the way to go.
Just jump into the pool and become an entrepreneur. Well, Chris Connor, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
To learn Thank more you. About Chris Connor, visit our podcast website at homebusinessmag.com for more information.
Okay, the answer to today's home business tip: what is a simple and easy way to supercharge your productivity on a daily basis? When something hits your inbox that will take less than 2 minutes to do, do it now. Don't click over it and put it off till later. Get it done now if you can do so in 2 minutes or less. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or our expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.